Full Circle Reviews. This episode will be reviewing the 2021 crime drama Stillwater. This was technically Justin's pick, even though it was on the borderline of a new release. We were just a little late to the party.
Yeah.
So, Justin, since this was your pick, how did you hear about it? And why did you pick it?
I heard about it. I think we saw the trailer earlier in the year, and then it looked intriguing. And then I found out that it was based on the Amanda Knox story, and I watched loosely,
very loosely.
Like, this is a large umbrella,
looser than a $3 hooker. Loosely,
we went there and we're like 30 seconds in the review.
And I watched the Netflix documentary on Amanda Knox, and I also saw the episode of the Joe Rogan podcast when she was on there and talked about like the whole experience and what she does now and blah, 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 blah. So I was interested, and Matt Damon is like, for me, 50-50, whether it's going to be a good movie or not. Usually it's not his acting performance. It's the character he plays is what I don't like. And
I can agree with you on that.
I guess we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. All right, so this was directed by Tom McCarthy. It stars Matt Damon, Camille Colton?
Sure.
Cotton. And Abigail Breslin, who is Luke's favorite.
She used to be. Yes, used to be.
She was fantastic in My Sister's Keeper.
She was fantastic in Signs, my favorite movie of all time.
Agreed. She was adorable. There's amoebas.
I know Justin's going to give me shit about me saying my favorite movie of all time. So I'm just preparing.
It's all good.
All right. Thank you.
We'll get there.
So back to this movie.
I'm such a dick.
So the synopsis is that an American oil rigger named Bill Baker, played by Matt Damon, travels to Marseille, France, in order to visit his estranged daughter, who's in prison, allegedly for murdering her roommate and lover.
And lover, yeah.
Allegedly it's a crime she did not commit. She struggles with, there struggles with the language barrier and the cultural barrier that was very
apparent.
France and the US. Yeah.
And it's a,
they don't like us
due to mostly a very, very different legal system than we're used to in the United States.
True.
So he makes it his personal mission to try and, exonerate his daughter. That is my synopsis. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Justin?
Not to the synopsis, but like,
we'll get into opinions. Okay. We're talking about the storyline.
The synopsis is good. What you just said, but it just seemed off to me. Like, it's not, I didn't get much of a vibe of it having to do with the legal system.
And I felt like that's what the movie was supposed to be about. And that's what they led us to believe it was going to be about.
They missed the mark.
But this motherfucker never fought for nothing.
No.
He just like chilled and tried to survive in Marseille so he could be close. And then like,
Hang on. We're going to get there. Right. We're not there yet.
Well, fuck.
We all have very strong opinions about this movie.
Yes.
So Luke.
That's me.
Do you want to let us know your initial reactions?
I hated the movie personally. All right, on this show, I complain a lot about movies dragging. I mean, I coined Linus's blanket, and this,
was it like 2 hours and 40 minutes?
2 hours and 20 minutes.
And bullshit.
Dude.
But it felt about 4.
Because key events happened, it seemed like few and far between. And so in between those key events was a lot of fucking dragging.
And a lot of lull.
How many times did we need to see Matt Damon do the dishes?
Yeah, little things that made no sense.
Like, fucking what?
Little things like that. Just maybe served a purpose to kind of establish him as a sympathetic character that he's trying to, you know, be a better father now to the daughter of the woman he's staying with. Yeah, I agree. There was a lot of scenes like that where
a diarrhea of scenes.
I was just begging for something to happen. And when something did, it was never anything really of the substance that we needed to keep us interested.
No, it's just every single thing they tried to do fell flat.
It really did.
I agree.
It really did.
There's no connection to anything, to any character, to any event.
I had no one to root
besides
for.
I agree. Yeah. 100%.
Besides the little French girl.
Yes. The daughter
and not him, his daughter, and their little relationship, like not any of the characters actually connected. None of the events that transpired produced an emotional reaction or like a yeah or like any type of feeling with
there's no win
typically
feeling.
With a crime drama, you know, something like you're invested, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say you get a little bit of suspense, but like you get a little bit of adrenaline from like feeling like you're solving this thing too, you know what I mean? You're like almost like you're stewarding, even though you're just watching.
Yeah, and I get it. I know what
you
mean.
There's none of that. No. There was fucking absolutely nothing. This movie, literally, we can call it The Grouch because it belongs in the garbage.
It made me think of mental masturbation. I felt numb and my brain just sat there like, what? Afterwards. And I think my biggest complaints about the movie are, number one, if this is supposed to be loosely based on the story of Amanda Knox, now I understand why she's pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not even this villainized her.
Yeah, it did.
Where she was a victim. And so for people that don't know the story of Amanda Knox and they watch this and think this is based on the story of her.
It's not.
It's not. The premise is just the fact that it's a girl, an American college student that gets tied up in a foreign legal system.
It. That's the only thing that's similar.
That is the only thing similar. Right.
I think we should kind of establish something that the whole based on a true story. I feel like there's different tiers. There's correct. Based on a true story. There's inspired by a true story. And I feel like this is the bottom of inspired by a true story.
This is like I heard a story once.
And this is my take and twist on it.
I got loud.
You did.
You got excited. I feel like this story might have even been passed down generations and like multiple games of telephone because it's fucking not even.
Yeah. So that's my number one complaint is that it not only is not accurate because it's not, quote unquote, it's not the Amanda Knox story. It's loosely based on it. It villainized a victim, which pissed me off.
They had to have the twist. They had to have items of interest.
Yeah. Thrown in number there. Two, the quote unquote cultural struggles and barriers were bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's going to be culture barriers between Americans and foreign countries, just like there's culture barriers between foreign countries and other foreign countries. Mm-hmm. It's not just that America is the ugly Americans that this movie portrayed.
Yeah.
And it really infuriated me because every comment about America or about American culture or about his lack of understanding of the French culture was a slight on the U.S.
It was. I feel like if Tom McCarthy doesn't like it here, he can get the fuck out.
And so I was really offended by that.
And him and Bill Baker, his character, that was his name, right?
Yeah.
And him as a person was a total insult to us. I mean,
yes.
Dumb.
To like middle America, hardworking country.
Yeah. And nothing against them. But I feel like, you know, that was sent over as a representation of America and it was a poor representation.
Yes. And what makes me really mad about it is that I read an interview where Matt Damon was actually self-proclaiming that he went and spent time in the South and in Texas to get to understand the MAGA or Make America Great Again people so that he could better represent them. And I feel like he did a horrible disservice.
Hmm. Yeah, he was just like sullen.
No, I think in his body language, let's take a step back. His body language was great.
You think
his
so?
Movement, I thought it was not his tone, not his speech pattern, but his body movements I thought were pretty good.
I felt like he was a brick wall with skin and just walking around. There was nothing. No emotion. No nothing. Like nothing.
Yes. But
I would kind of agree.
Yeah, I do. But I think that the movements, his pace, I think he did a pretty good job of encompassing that aspect of the character. That's the only plus I will give him on this character.
Okay. So then it goes into the writing after that.
100%. Yeah. So my biggest complaints so far are A, it's horrible for Amanda. B, I'm tired of watching things put down in America. If you don't like it here, that's okay. It doesn't have to be propaganda of America is the best place in the world. That's fine. But as directors and as actors, if you live here and you hate it, then either do something about it or leave.
Yeah. Don't just make your statement.
I'm tired of the political undertones on everything.
I would agree.
And then I felt like there was a huge subplot of him trying to be the father he never was to a kid that's not his. And while those little moments were really cute with him and the daughter, He moved to Marseille to be close to his daughter, spent like 6 months not talking to her because she wouldn't see him. Mm-hmm. And he started a new life of domestication.
While she's still locked up and he's just chilling.
And he's not doing shit to get her out.
No.
So that's great that he wants to be the dad that this girl doesn't have and the dad that he never was to his own kid. But holy hell, what is the purpose of that?
The fact that he found out anything was just by pure happenstance.
Mm-hmm. He could have immediately, I mean, they could have taken that 45 minutes out of the movie.
Without a doubt.
Hour. I mean,
there was so much filler.
They could have taken that time and taken us back to maybe when this girl was on trial, so we would have connected to something.
They didn't even do that.
You started after?
Yeah. You started.
Who the fuck are you?
And I'm sorry, but they criminalized her through the whole movie.
They did.
They made it to where you couldn't possibly like Abigail Breslin. I mean,
they made her look like a methed out country bumpkin.
Yeah, right down to the teeth, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time where people were talking about her like she was a spoiled college American kid who always had was given everything.
But then when she was able to represent herself when she was out, she did behave obnoxiously, kind of, in my opinion.
Yes.
Like, it just
sociopathically.
Yes. The perfect.
Okay. And even the scene where she gets out for the day and she, you know, goes and gets flowers and puts them on the gravesite. And then she soaks up the sun and she's floating in the water. This is a fucking criminal.
Mm-hmm. And she gets a day out of prison a month. She gets to wear whatever she wants. People can do her laundry, bring her shit every day. Like, that's not real prison.
And I don't know enough about the prison system in like Marseille to comment on that. But the whole thing, I never felt empathy or sympathy for any character in this movie. The only character I felt sorry for was the little girl in Marseille because the one person she had a bond with, it ended up getting ripped apart so ridiculously.
Yeah. That was the only part where I felt any feels whatsoever when they were saying goodbye.
Yep. Yeah.
That was the only part that anything even remotely feel related came
that
out.
That was it.
Well, and when they introduced Abigail Breslin, immediately I looked at you guys and like, she did it. Immediately.
Yeah.
There wasn't a likable personality. And I understand they're trying to put the fact that this is an estranged relationship between them. Okay. Point taken. But if you want us to feel something for her, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Why can't we feel angst? Why can't we feel regret?
Yeah. Nothing.
Why can't we feel there's a ton of feelings they could have gave us. They could have set the mood, but they chose fucking not to.
She did a whole lot of deflecting.
Yeah.
She never took responsibility for shit.
Okay, my third point of what really pissed me off about this movie, and I haven't brought this up yet, even just in conversation with you guys yet. Okay. Why did it take her years to mention Akeem?
And she wasn't even the one who brought him up originally. It was something that the teacher supposedly called into her.
Right.
And so you should go find the teacher to find out all the information for me.
Was it because she wasn't aware?
She hired him.
Oh,
paid him with the gold necklace.
No, I get that. But the story, the narrative she was trying to spin, though.
The narrative she was trying to spin was that.
Frame him. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. No, that's a good question. That's a good point.
But, okay. You're the guilty party, right? You're in jail. You've been in jail for years now.
She didn't actually do it. She just set it up.
Okay, yes. And Luke was right on that she was the mastermind. Because we did take a pause and determine whose thoughts were going to be where. But if she's sitting there guilty of the masterminding and she knows that she gave this man payment to commit this crime and he can't identify her by name or anything. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, he identified her by Stillwater.
Yeah.
Why the hell didn't she do that earlier? Why did we spend the whole movie watching this? It pissed me off.
I got nothing.
I would have rather finger popped my asshole for 2 hours and 24 minutes or whatever it was.
I would have rather read a book.
Maybe the Amanda Knox story.
Yeah.
The real fucking story that's actually interesting.
Annoyed the shit
out of
me.
So they take an interesting story and turn it into this.
The Amanda Knox story is fascinating.
Yeah. It is.
This there was just no love interest between her and her roommate. They were just roommates.
That was the other thing. How woke. Now we've got to make it so that
lesbians.
She's banging her roommate and now it's a crime of passion because her roommate
was banging somebody else. Oh, God. That was fucking gross.
whatever.
Perfectly. Yeah, no, the Amanda Knox story, she's just the media. She was an American girl, and they portrayed her to be a loose woman. And
they did.
And this lady that she was not, and it was a media storm that led to her conviction. They had no evidence. They had DNA of, like, five different people. Mm-hmm. They had nothing the first time. Then they'd come back and say, oh, well, we found this, and we found that, and we found your fingerprints on this. And she'd be like, yeah, I live there.
No, but I do remember it was very much a trial by media.
Yeah, yes. I mean, originally there was, like, blood on the carpet. There was all this different stuff, and they didn't test anything. They just immediately threw her in jail and assumed she did it because she was an American girl in Italy. And that's the first thing. Why the fuck did they do this movie in France?
Because it's not the Amanda Knox story. So they changed the location to be in France versus in Italy, which is where Amanda Knox was.
They took a great idea.
And they shit on it.
And then they took a laxative immediately after.
Could it have something to do with them not having to pay any kind of rights or royalties?
I don't think so, because it could still loosely be based. I mean, come on, you could still go to the same country.
Well, so I read an interview, and Amanda Knox
same legal process.
Furious about this movie, because both the director, Tom McCarthy, and Matt Damon spent time in the South with the oil workers to try and get a feel for who these people are and to, you know, accurately represent them in his character. They didn't reach out to her in any way, shape, or form.
That's insane.
And what's really,
and maybe it's because they didn't want to pay royalties, right. But whatever it is, that's bullshit.
I would agree.
Well, and what's even more fucked up is this poor girl probably already has, or lady, I mean, she's a lady, not a girl, but probably has some PTSD from everything that happened.
100%.
This movie explicitly followed the made up shit that the media in Italy said about her. That's what they made this girl, Abigail Breslin, into the movie to be. So it's like she had to relive everything again.
Good point.
Is her name and her story not sacred to anybody? Like,
it's pretty fucked. Does she?
Not to mention, like, after she got back and she was, you know, released and she came back to the US, she now heads up, like, all kinds of rescue type organizations to help.
Right. So to make sure what happened to her doesn't happen again.
Anywhere else. And she was completely disrespected by this.
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree.
So
I don't blame her.
No, I don't either. Not at all. So let's take it a step back. Let's talk about the characters, the other actors, actresses, etc. So we talked a little bit about Matt Damon's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to add anything to that before we move on to another character?
I thought it was the epitome of dull.
It really was. Like, what was the point of, I mean, the character had an intriguing backstory.
Sure. Absolutely.
Alcoholic, addict. Struggling to find work in middle America economy, even though it seems like he knows a ton of different trades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they established that several times.
And is only working to save enough money to travel to France.
To do her laundry?
To see his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Great backstory. But why didn't they just do anything besides what they did?
Well,
anything.
Even the fact that the wife committed suicide, I felt like that was unnecessary.
Yeah, why was that?
I know we didn't see it, but that aspect of the story.
It was, and it was brought up in a very insulting way, too.
Uh-huh.
It was due to his addiction and alcoholism, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I don't think they specified.
I could have swore it was thrown in his face by his daughter. By the daughter.
Maybe, because she was an epic bitch.
Or maybe not thrown in his face, but thrown into the French, what was her name?
Virginie.
Like, mentioned to her, like, you know, my mom, he's a fuck up, you know, that was said a few times. But I seem to remember it being brought up in a very insulting way.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, even Abigail Breslin's interactions with Virginie about, well, you know, he's a fuck up, and I know because so am I. What are you doing?
Why? What's the point? Like, I don't know why they had to have the estranged relationship and show us that they're trying.
You're in this
that
person's
both characters
house.
Are together, and then have one character constantly trying to make it worse.
Right.
Made no
she
sense.
Was just
it was counterproductive.
Such a useless human in this.
Totally. Even after the big reveal, even worse.
What big reveal?
Well, the reveal.
God.
So tacky.
It's like pulling a rabbit out of a butthole.
Okay, let's talk about Camille Cotton or Cotton's performance as Virginie. Luke, what did you think?
I don't really have anything negative to say about her. I think she did. She represented what she was supposed to represent properly. The you know, burgeoning love interest. I really don't have much to say about her, but at the same time, she's boring to me. Unremarkable.
Yeah.
But then that goes both ways too. Like, I can't remark negatively, but I have nothing positive to say about her either.
Okay. Justin.
She did all right, I guess. She didn't
like meh kind of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Nothing
like,
right home.
Yeah.
She was like,
and it's not just because she's surrounded by meh characters, really. It's just, it's almost like they were written intentionally like this.
I feel the same thing about her. Like, she's a struggling French woman who has a passion of the performing arts, right? And doesn't have a lot of money and is trying to take care of her daughter. So she takes this dude in to as a roommate so she can, help provide a life. And so, again, interesting backstory, like background for the character, but it went absolutely nowhere. Like,
it seemed there at
was
times,
nothing, there was nothing more positive.
It seemed at times like they were going to start down that path, like of pursuing, like, you know, maybe showing us more about her acting and maybe growing that. And then it would just come to a screeching halt.
She would just, it seemed like she would just hook up with whoever that person was that was over. They were hanging or talking about art and then it would move. The story would move on.
Yeah. Well, all the commentary from Matt Damon's character was about how, well, I don't understand theater. I don't like theater. I don't appreciate theater. Da, 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 da. It was just, they made him such an ugly.
Mm-hmm. Such a bumpkin.
Yes. An uncultured. Wow.
Nobody knows who the hell that is.
I know. But a true country bumpkin.
Uncultured swine.
Very, very good.
Okay. All right. So that particular actress that played Virginie was also in House of Gucci, and she is a pretty big French actress, actually. Thought that was interesting.
You could tell by her nose.
She must have got that job.
I was waiting.
I was waiting on him, and he didn't look like he was going to say it.
Well, I was going to say she must have got that job with her coochie, because it definitely wasn't her acting chops.
All right. The director, Tom McCarthy. He has also done a bunch of other movies, and so I was really kind of surprised when I read the movie list.
Were they Liam Neeson movies?
Well, he did Conspiracy Theory.
Okay.
Okay.
He did Baby Mama.
Well, that's pretty diverse.
He did The Guru.
The Love Guru?
The Love Guru.
With Mike Myers.
Yes. Pixels.
Mm. Oh, with Adam Sandler and all those guys.
Duplicity.
Hmm. Good movie.
All the King's Men.
Okay. Liked it.
Syriana.
I like that too.
Up.
I love Up.
13 Reasons Why, the show.
Ugh.
2012.
This is like every genre possible.
Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, Little Fockers.
Wow.
The Visitor and Spotlight. So one of the parts that I thought was going to be a bigger theme and maybe missed the mark was the comment when the woman from the legal system, I don't know if it's an attorney. Okay. When she had said that there is time for hope and time for acceptance, and that Allison was the character that Abigail Breslin played, and that it was time for her to accept her fate.
And acceptance was the only way forward.
Correct. I thought that that was an interesting way of putting it. I thought that they could have done more with that as a theme.
Fuck yeah. I mean, sounds just like the French. Oh, it's over. I'm going to run away now. I'll be fine with nothing.
They've taken enough jabs about that.
Come on.
They really have.
Truth, though.
I can't argue.
So, and then the most they did with it is that the very next scene, her father gives her some sense of false hope that, yeah, they're going to look into it when really he's going to do it. And then he immediately gives up.
I want to say he was totally put on the spot because he was uncomfortable, I think, lying about it.
One, he tried to like put his heart out there and do this for her to find out that she didn't want him involved because she thinks he's a he's incapable and has a fuck up and doesn't want to make it worse.
Yeah.
That was my next point, was her letter saying exactly that.
So that's when I think, like, he was like, oh, well, fuck it. But I don't know why he didn't just go back to America at that point. Like,
and just say,
why did you stay there?
You mean just say, like, okay, you know,
you don't want me around. It. What am I wasting my life for?
Well,
I'm trying to dedicate this part of my life to you to make up for the times I wasn't there. And you, once again, don't. Well, I don't want to say once again, you don't want me here.
I think that's when you go back into the aforementioned wreckage that he caused, though, is.
Exactly. But either then try to make it better. Don't just exist.
How about he is her only possibility of hope because nobody else gives a shit about her?
Exactly.
Pretty much.
You know, and even if you have issues with him, he is damn well trying.
Yeah. He's the only one. I mean, he's willing to go to incredible lengths.
He was.
And then when she finds out he moved there, it's like, oh, well, why'd you do that? Oh, okay.
Oh, it was a super shitty kind of dismissive scene.
Yeah. So I wasn't a huge fan of that.
No.
Just
like most of the fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's a comment where it's Virginia and her friend. And there's, oh, Bill, did you vote for Trump? And he's like, no, I didn't vote. I'm an ex-felon.
Why didn't you vote? Yep. Ex-felon.
But it was so...
insulting.
You own a gun, huh?
How about did you vote in the election? Did it have to be singled out either way?
Of course
it
did.
Yeah. Of course it did.
And then the whole thing about the gun came up how many times? Mm-hmm. Do you really own a gun? They're about to have sex. Do you really own a gun?
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
Did that turn her on? Yeah, my love gun.
It did, because she like lunged in for the for the kill at that point.
Maybe she wanted her own Gene Simmons.
And even that I felt like was made to be that Americans are uncultured and dangerous and cowboys. And it just was so ridiculous.
Yeah, we are.
That was such a ridiculous point.
I'd love somebody to have their first introduction to America be this movie. I mean, they would have the worst image of us.
But what person in Texas doesn't own a gun?
That's true. True.
True that.
It's just.
Or Oklahoma or Arkansas, Missouri.
Obviously people that are felons and you know, can't therefore and the you know for
most of them still do, just not legally.
Okay, but it just was such a it was a weird point to focus on.
I would totally agree. So. Especially at the sex scene.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't ironic. It wasn't really cute. It was just kind of weird to
me.
No,
it was you know what it made me want to do? I wanted to fart on her pillow. I don't know why, but when she said
you're not kidding.
When she said the thing about
yeah.
Do you really have a gun when they're about to you know, do the deed. I wanted her to have pink eye. I wanted to fart on her pillow in real life. And, because who are you?
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to be in this passionate moment and you want to really know if this dude has a gun. What the fuck does that matter? Even if he does, it's not with him. He left that life behind.
Yeah.
It meant nothing.
Yeah.
I also, the other part that was anti-American that I wrote down that irritated me was the part where Virginia didn't like the prior store owner because he's a racist. And Matt Damon's response is, well, I work with people like that all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he doesn't care about, you know, putting anyone in jail in place of his own daughter. They could have made that same statement if didn't care about who he puts in jail other than his daughter without the racist attack.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
That was totally unnecessary. Now, I would venture to guess that a lot of parents, even if their kid was guilty or not guilty or questionably guilty, being held in a prison in another country would fight to get their kid back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would venture to guess that.
Absolutely.
Right. And I would venture to guess that there would be a large percentage of parents who, frankly, if it came down to their kid or somebody else's, they would pick somebody else's.
Absolutely.
That could have been a strong theme and part of this movie.
Definitely.
But then they had to chip at it.
They did.
Yeah, you had to cheapen it.
Yes.
It's really what they did with most things.
Yeah.
That could have been a very good path to go off on there.
It could have. It could have had potential there.
Yeah.
What about the scene where he tracks down Akeem and then, you know, gets his ass kicked by the.
Ugh.
Like I said, it was all happenstance. Like he happened to get these tickets so she could go see the game. And then he saw the dude or what he thought was the dude.
That was after. I'm talking about the scene where he gets beat up.
Where he takes on the group.
Yeah.
Where the Akeem's riding around on the back of
the dirt bike.
The dirt bike.
The Enduro.
And they you know.
Well, I want to say I didn't like it because it seemed like a decent chunk of the trailer had scenes from that to show mm-hmm. the lengths he was going to. And then he ends up getting like two good shots in and then just getting totally pummeled.
Yeah. The trailer made it seem like he was getting retribution.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. It made it seem like it was halfway between Taken and this.
Yes. Perfect.
But it was not.
No. He immediately like crumbles to the ground and starts getting kicked.
Yeah. He hit one guy and was fucking beat up by skinny little dudes. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted there's like five or six of them, but oh, still.
Definitely. But it implied.
For a big, burly, country-fed boy.
Yeah. So maybe there's an undertone there.
But the scene missed the point, missed the mark, too.
Yeah, they wanted to call us pussies.
Right. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
I got to put...
Big tree fall hard?
What?
I'm going to bite my tongue on that one.
Okay.
We're good.
We'll let you do that.
You know it's bad if he's doing that. You know it's bad if he's
going to do that. Jesus. So then I have in my notes that 1 hour in our prediction... And I predicted that Allie 100% was guilty. Luke predicted that she was the mastermind behind everything. And Justin had predicted that the two black guys in the restaurant were responsible, that were associated with Akeem.
Sound like a racist.
No, but I could see both.
But they kept pointing the finger at random places everywhere
he would go.
But they were muscle, and they were threatening the people that were talking.
Which they still might have been. They might have been protecting. Obviously, they were protecting Akeem. Still.
But there was enough smoldering glances in that restaurant scene to imply
when he went
that.
To meet with the girl.
Yes, yeah. I get where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, it was like they were giving her the eyes, and then there were the guys again when he did find Akeem, and Akeem was on the back of the dirt bike, you know, it was the same dudes. And then later in the movie, same dudes.
Let me just say, I don't get any pleasure from being right. I think I kept saying, like, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fuck.
Yeah.
The mastermind.
Gross.
And, you know, it annoyed me that, and I brought this up a couple times already, but it annoyed me that the biggest, like, theme throughout the movie, other than her obvious guilt and involvement at whatever level, was that. Basically, Americans are racist, both against blacks and Arabs.
Yeah, and Arabs.
And I feel like they made the muscle to black guys so that the American viewers watching it would assume it was the black guys. And then we could feel that we are actually white privileged.
Oh, God, I hope you're wrong.
And that in itself irritated me.
I hope you're wrong, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm irritated right now because now I feel like that.
Right?
Asshole.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made Akeem.
Mm-hmm.
Middle Eastern.
Yeah, why did it have to be? I mean, there was no other, I guess the lead guy was, but nobody else was Middle Eastern in their little crew.
So it's just the whole thing.
It left the room sour.
It did. And none of it was chance. None of it was just happenstance. It was placed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't appreciate it. So for those of you listening, sorry if I'm, you know, on my soapbox, but I am.
She deserves it. We all deserve to be on a soapbox for sitting through this movie.
I can't. Did this movie even make any fucking money? It was, but there's people that love this movie.
Well, hold on.
God.
So.
I feel sorry for them.
To compare this movie, you brought up Liam Neeson movies, which I can't help loving Liam Neeson.
Well, you know
movies.
What you're getting with Liam Neeson.
You know what you're getting.
They're guilty pleasure.
It's like
movies.
Fast and the Furious. You know exactly what you're getting, right? Now, if you were to compare this to American Sniper, Luke, did you see American Sniper?
Negative.
Okay, Justin, you did.
Of course not. Yeah, I did.
Off.
Okay. Talk about the difference in Bradley Cooper in this type of a role, of this type of a American from this type of an area, versus Matt Damon's portrayal.
Bradley Cooper played... a true American hero. And I just don't say that. I mean, he has Medal of Honors and different things like that. He truly was an American hero. And the only way he thought he could do this is to actually go live with the guy's family. So him and Clint Eastwood, because Clint Eastwood directed the movie, right? They went and stayed like down the street from his family and really found out what it was like to be Chris Kyle. So his portrayal, his character was like a country boy. You know what I mean? But he was empathetic. He had a soul. He was, even though he was a sniper and he was being ordered to kill people, like
he suffered.
It affected him. He suffered. I mean, you could connect with the character, and he never wanted to do any of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And even though this the whole time in American Sniper, his character is literally in the Middle East killing people, you never felt like there was any prejudice.
Correct.
You never felt like everything he did was justified because it was war.
Correct.
And it was.
that is why I brought up the movie. It's a totally different take.
I mean, the part in American Sniper where the mom hands the little kid the grenade so he could throw it at the tank.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, well, sorry. You have to. It came out like 12 years ago. What? You're a little late to the party.
Okay.
Anyways.
Maybe six.
Go ahead. Spoiler.
I mean, he goes through an internal struggle of having to save lives or take a life. And you feel it. Yes. I mean, you see it in his eyes, not just his body language.
You see it in his body language.
You see it like in his soul. I mean, yeah, maybe it's just maybe they should have had Bradley Cooper, but I'm glad they fucking didn't. Because
the reason I bring it up is the parallel between the director and the actor going and staying with like folk that are involved to get a better portrayal of the actor. Now, had they taken this movie and just made Matt Damon kind of a rough around the edges, unpolished country bumpkin, I am 100% behind the underdog story.
Sure. Yeah, same here.
But don't make him a villain.
Right.
No, it was fucking ridiculous.
So that was my point, is that I felt Bradley Cooper did a superior job both in his acting, his body language, his emotion, and portrayal. They didn't have to make this movie about Matt Damon's character being an American hero. He didn't have to be a hero. He could have just been a dad who was trying to protect his daughter.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. There's a scene that I go to in 28 Weeks Later with Jeremy Renner where he's a sniper and he's doing something similar where he doesn't want to do what he's about to do. And he's going through all the emotion, the rage with being ordered to do something. So I get what you're saying, even though I haven't seen it. So yeah, I would have loved to have seen that here.
You're gonna have to.
Yeah, now we'll have to pick it.
Yep.
So, it's all right.
Fantastic movie.
I have the book and I have the movie.
The book was amazing.
I have both of them. No, I got them both for a gift from an ex.
The book was amazing. And there are some parts.
Forget the ex, but read the book.
There are some parts that are hysterical.
We have a different idea of humor. Go ahead, Kristen.
Yeah, it's more ironic than hysterical.
This will tell you how, for anybody listening, this will tell you how bad Stillwater is. Like, we are having so much better of a time. Talking about movie. Different movies.
It's true. I'd rather talk about a movie I haven't seen.
So, all right. Next thing in my notes, I'm looking through. Guys, do you have any scenes or any aspects you want to talk about since I've kind of just taken the platform of what pisses me off?
The only one that really, really stood out to me was just the goodbye scene between Matt Damon, Bill, and the daughter. I felt like that was the most real and raw scene right there. And it felt like he really was falling apart. I'd never seen this little girl again. So that is the only time any emotion whatsoever got out of me.
And her character was Maya.
Maya, okay.
I had to look it up.
And it just went right back to being sour after that. So that's the only notable scene to me.
What about you, Justin?
It's one of the scenes when I was reflecting on this movie, and I don't know if it's as much reflecting or like trying to wash it away from my memory and repress it.
I know how you feel.
But it was like Allie, right? Allison.
Yes.
Was in jail or prison. Looked like she was doing pretty good. She could wear street clothes. Like, she didn't look like she was getting roughed up or anything.
No, she didn't.
And then she had good enough behavior that she gets a hall pass and gets to spend the day with dad and go to the ocean and do these different things.
Dad doted on her all day.
And do you remember what happened next?
Enlighten me. So
that she's trying to commit suicide.
That she hangs herself. That's right.
Yeah.
That just made me hate her even more.
What the fuck? That's when I knew something was wrong, because you just got a day out. You got to see what your life will be like when you are out someday, because you know you're innocent, and you go back and you hang yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
Like, she's not Epstein. We know she did.
So to piggyback on Luke's scene, that really irritated me was a couple of scenes later when Bill and Allie are back in the U.S. and Allie went for a walk and shows up at Bill's house first thing in the morning.
Didn't she live there?
I don't think so. It said that she went for a walk and just found herself there.
I thought it meant on like the porch.
Oh, maybe.
I thought it was on the porch. Yeah.
Okay. So I misinterpreted that.
That's all right.
But
it's easy.
So they're sitting on the porch, right? And they're talking and she says, "So do you miss him?" And he says, "Yeah. Well, why don't you go back?" "I can't." And then she says, "I feel like in all these years, nothing's changed." And he looks off into the distance and says, "I feel like nothing looks the same." Cut scene. credits.
Because my daughter's a lying murderer.
What?
I understand
the
his
fuck?
Point of view. I don't understand hers.
Was that like, necessary?
No. I get you.
No, but it was like their
weak.
Their
weak
summarization of the movie in two sentences.
Weak.
Very weak.
Flat. I totally agree.
Blah.
I totally agree.
It's like Daffy
blah.
Duck when he used a flex and his biceps would go down.
That's a good comparison.
Okay. One more scene I want to talk about. The confession scene. We've now watched 2 hours and 10 minutes of this movie. Pretty sure the bitch is guilty in some way, shape, or form through most of the movie because I kept harping on it and driving everybody crazy.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
And then they have like the welcome home. And yeah, we said we were going to
fucking parade.
We said we were going to bring our girl home from the government that did nothing for her.
Where the hell were they?
Yeah. Right. Another jab. Okay. One, two, they get home and they have a little party going on and he's just kind of off in the corner. And then he walks in her room.
Yeah. And all of a sudden they're living in this nice house. Where'd they get the house from?
And basically says, I know you did it.
He goes into a dialogue about it's like from the past about the necklace and everything. And her eyes kind of immediately go guilty and go, oh shit, this guy knows.
Right. He talks about how he bought her the necklace at the airport.
Right. And at this point he had already known from Akeem, the Stillwater necklace involvement.
That was the only real struggle he had was giving up on his daughter once he found out from Akeem.
Yeah.
And so then she just basically starts crying. Oh, I did it.
And trying to rationalize.
I loved her. She was sleeping with other people.
And didn't she also try and downplay it? Like, I didn't want her to get killed.
Right. I just wanted her to get roughed up.
Yeah.
Some.
Okay. So we still don't know where the truth
story.
Is. I mean.
Who cares?
No, I get it. I totally get it. But in the we're supposed to like have it all wrapped up and know more than the characters. And we still don't know where the truth lies. We just know different stories.
Well, and.
Wherever it lies, they can fucking keep it there.
That scene was so weak.
About four minutes long.
It was like an afterthought.
Well, 2 hours and 10 minutes in, this is the big reveal. Mm. This is the big.
Well, they're thinking that
the
reveal.
The BBC.
Yeah. Was horrible.
Well, they're thinking that the reveal was actually him finding out about Akeem. And then the double twist.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
But I get it. He cast enough doubt on it so that it was the big reveal.
Right.
It was stupid. I'm with you.
Oh, God. The acting in that scene was pitiful.
Pitiful. Yeah.
All right. I have one more round of harp, and then I will let you guys have your opinions on
stuff. Oh, no. I'm good. We can just keep it moving.
So I have three major pet peeves in movies. And I don't think we've gone into any of these in any of our reviews yet. But I have three major fucking pet peeves. And this movie hit two of them.
Okay.
Number one pet peeve. You cannot pull DNA from a strand of hair that was cut.
Okay. You cannot.
That is impossible.
Yeah.
It has to be ripped out from the scalp. So it has the follicle and the sac that has the DNA in it. Now, you can sometimes get it from a hairbrush if the brush pulls the hair out from the root.
Gotcha.
You cannot get it from cut hair. Numero uno. You lost me.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Don't get forensics wrong.
I hate that.
You look
that
like
shit.
Idiots.
You look like a moron.
But CSI said you. You're just kidding.
CSI said there's jizz everywhere.
Number two, fake smokers.
Oh God.
Oh,
yeah.
From all of us being
cringe.
Smokers
now,
at one point.
All of us being ex-smokers. Okay. It chaps my hide when they take a non-smoker in a movie and they hand him a cigarette. And they.
Yep. Immediate exhale.
Because you immediately are like, you didn't inhale.
What's the point of smoking?
Now, hold on. Not to say that people should smoke. Not to say that people should be forced to smoke in a role. Don't make a non-smoker fucking smoke.
You have to make them edgy, though. And nothing is edgier than watching
them
smoke.
Or if they're going to do it because of the money, show them how.
Yeah.
It just looked, at least hold it in your mouth.
In 2022,
you don't have to inhale
there
it.
Has to be an option for a non-smoker to make it look like they're smoking.
They
yeah, why couldn't
vapes.
She vape?
Yeah. Yeah. Something. Other
but
than
she,
just,
they have to show the moment of her and Virginia sitting there with a cigarette and the instant exhale of this. Okay. Okay.
And it looked like the smoke was CGI.
Man, I didn't know you felt this. I thought she was petty.
Oh, no, I hate that. And then my number three, which they didn't do, and this is when they get diabetes wrong, like in Panic Room, where they talk about how, oh, the blood sugar's dropping, give her more insulin.
Oh, okay.
When you did the whole thing, the whole movie was about finding the insulin.
When Bella went into the anaphylactic shock.
It's not just about diabetes. It's about any health condition. If you're going to use a health condition, get it fucking right.
Yeah.
Be accurate.
So that's my two out of three.
Fact checkers and all types of people that could do the research.
Yeah, like what's the point of showing them smoking?
Because they're French.
But not really smoking.
Is it to say that they're French? We got that loud and clear.
Okay, is it because the cigarette industry, one of the companies paid them some money to do it? Well, then show them to do it the right way. Yeah. I felt like for some reason I remember that song. Just put it in her mouth. Like she never even got the cigarette smoke anywhere near her.
Oh, you could totally tell she was not a smoker.
And that's okay. And she shouldn't have to for a role.
But then don't pretend.
She could have sat next to Virginie who was smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they could have had that same bonding moment. Yeah. Why make her have a cigarette?
Yeah. She could have coughed and then been the rude American. And it would have fit with the rest of the movie.
It would have fit the rest of the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So those are my three biggest pet peeves and they hit two out of three for me.
I think my list is like 4 pages long of pet peeves.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And if one of them happens, it's over.
Yeah.
There's no recovery.
The only other theme that I had written down from a quote was that life is brutal.
Life was brutal sitting here watching the movie.
I mean, the only other thing they could have said that would have been even lamer is it is what it is.
Yeah, it's true.
So.
Wow.
All right, kids. That's my soapbox rant. I haven't ranted like this about a movie in a long time.
No, I'm glad you got it out of your system.
I had to. Thoughts, gentlemen, anything else that I didn't bitch about?
I need to know the budget. I want to get to that very.
Oh, we're getting there.
Because I want to either be very angry or relieved.
Okay. All right. Budget.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Luke. Guess.
Yeah. I know that. Okay. Budget. $68 million.
Justin?
I just have to go with what I was going to say. It was 64.
Okay.
$20 million.
What, did Matt Damon do this for free? No wonder he gave two fucks about it.
Box office?
Oh. He literally wipes his ass with the money he got paid.
No, granted, this is the movie came out July 30th, 2021. This is now January 2022, so.
And was this wasn't in theaters,
it
right?
It was.
Oh, okay. It was.
Now, it was released during the COVID pandemic, so it was released both in streaming and theaters.
So we know
that other movies have killed the box office even so.
Whenever you've given that disclaimer in the past, it's always like it like hasn't applied. Which is something I'm 68 million. I'm just gonna say it again.
Okay, Justin.
I hope it's like 6 million.
19.8.
So it didn't.
So it's a technical flop.
Fucking.
I feel a little better. It sure was. It flopped out like a. Yeah, we'll just keep moving.
Like a limp dick.
Yeah, like a big one. Like a BBC
Grody.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you just lick your lips when I said
ratings?
That
yes, of course. Justin, go first.
Ratings?
Yes.
From where? From me?
Yes. You'd be going first to do your rating.
This movie gets a fuck no. Not just an F. It's a fuck no. So nobody needs to watch this movie.
Is that our new rating that we're talking about of a no-go?
I think it's a no-go. Zero. I think it should have some...
That's going to enjoy this movie.
Like sorry. Yes, you can. It should be something that starts with G, I think. So like God no or good Lord. Or something like that. That's kind of how I feel because
you have to go past F.
Yes.
God awful.
Okay.
Then what about E?
Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah. Extremely distasteful
for E. Okay. So Luke, what Justin, you give it is it a zero? Is it an F? Is it a G? What are we giving it?
I can't even give it a grade because I felt like it never showed up.
Okay.
Luke? Fair enough. I mean, I'd love to agree. I give it an F only because. It was a movie. It was better than some of the shit I have flunked in the past, but I'm still giving it an F.
Okay.
Because it was boring. I use this term a lot. Painful.
It was
painful. I felt pain watching this.
I did too.
And there's nothing you should feel. You should never feel pain watching a movie. So I felt pain watching this. I felt it dragged. I feel like I couldn't recommend this to anybody ever. It shouldn't have been made.
Unless they're over the age of 66. They might like it.
Well, I give it a flat F.
Okay.
And I don't know if that means F, G. I'm not sure. If I could give it less than an F, I would.
You can.
Okay. I give it less than an F.
Wow.
This is my lowest rating so far. This even beats out Lake Mungo for me.
Nighthouse.
Hashtag winning.
Yeah. Nighthouse got a D minus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the only one that didn't fuck it.
This is a fucking failure.
Wow.
And
I've never seen you this wound
up. No, I'm mad. It was painful. It was monotone. It dragged. There was nobody relatable except the little girl, Maya. There was terrible acting. It was terrible themes. Unlikable characters. Predictable, not believable, shit.
Are you sure this isn't our white privilege and we should expect less from a $20 million movie?
Come at me, bro.
Kristen, tell us some critic ratings.
So, IMDb. Am I telling you or are we guessing?
Just tell us.
Just tell me.
Please, I gotta
6.6 IMDb. Hold on. 74% Rotten Tomato critics.
Oh, God.
72% Rotten Tomato audience. 60% Metacritic. 74% Google.
So this movie gets a solid C from the world.
Maybe, guys.
But it's still flopped.
Maybe it's us, right?
It might be us. Then that's okay. It's our opinion. It's our podcast.
I don't think it is because it still only did 19 million.
Crap. Just crap.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have what? Negative F. Unrated. We're going to call
it. Suck it, Trebek.
An F.
We're going to call it a flat, lower than F, actually, is the aggregate, I think.
F minus.
Yeah. Stillwater.
Still
sucking balls.
All right.
You know, that is a great name for the movie because it explains it. There's nothing that is important. It's just like Stillwater.
Ah. Justin, that was probably the most profound, sure.
That thing nice. You said.
It had nothing to do with balls or buttholes. It was just,
couldn't they just like teabag the water real quick?
There it is.
There we are. There Ripples. She blows.
Get the ripple effect going.
Signing off.
All right, guys. Signing off. Stillwater. Catch us on our next episode of Full Circle Reviews.
Bye.
Bye.